Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Well, I'm so glad you are here. Can you guys give it up for Jacob just one more time? It's not easy to carry a set when you're the only one up here, and so just thankful for his heart and for the worship, the time that we have together. So, if you're joining us for the first time, maybe joining us online, we are in the last week of our series called Follow Me. And we have been studying the first six books, first six chapters of the book of Acts. And so, God had came down, Jesus came down, died on the cross. He had these disciples that were following him very, very closely. And then all of a sudden, he ascends back into heaven and he says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, and now I'm commissioning you to go out and be the church." And so we get to look into the early church and see how they established the church, how they walked through the decisions that they made, the opposition that they faced, all of these different things we get to look in and see. And so if you missed some of these weeks, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. Last week we talked about Acts chapter 5, some really eye-opening big things with Ananias and Sapphira. But this week is Acts chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, we're in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 is our base verse. That will be there. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 4 a little bit as well. But Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. I want to pray for us and then ask God just to speak this morning, all right? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, that we get to worship you, God. God, I just as that song, it just reminded us of how big you are, God, and that your very breath breathes out stars. God, and I pray that we will be a church that says we will not wait and let the rocks cry out, God. We will cry out. We will lift up your name. We will praise you, God. I pray that you would take this time to speak. I pray that I would decrease so that you may increase, God. I pray that you do what only you can do, and that's bring about a spiritual change inside of our lives, inside of our heart, God. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So I have a title today. You guys ready for it? Acts chapter 6. This is a very, very unique chapter, and I believe it'll speak to us today, especially here in 2021. But my title today is Growth Means Change. Growth means change. I want you to think about that for a little bit. Growth means change. We're going to see that here in Acts chapter 6, that anytime we are faced with growth or anytime we want to grow, what immediately follows is what? Change, right? Something begins to change. I mean, we see this in nature, right? As a plant starts out as a seed, it must break open, right? And it starts to change physically. It starts to grow higher. It starts to be able to soak in more water, soak in more sun. But that plant begins to change. And of course, if we look at the human race, right? Like every time we grow, we change, right? Our mind changes. We change physically. And then when we become adults and we want to change a lifestyle or change what's going on in our lives, right? All of a sudden, this growth has to happen. And when this growth happens, change happens. I mean, think about it too. If you're like me, I love to eat, right? I love to eat multiple times a day. But the problem is if you intake and you don't exercise, right? Like things begin to change, right? But if I want to get healthier, if I want to exercise, then I have to do what? Change my habits, right? I have to change the way I eat. I have to change my water intake. I have to change my sleeping habits. I have to change all of these things in order to experience that growth. And we see these two begin to work together, where when you see something grow, you know change is there. And when change is there, we have an opportunity to grow. We have an opportunity to allow God to use this change to grow. And if we look at our world today, I mean, it seems like change is happening all the time, right? It seems like every day there's something new. Every day we have to pivot or change. And I honestly believe in America specifically that the local church is in a change moment. The local church is in a shifting moment where God can use all the change that is happening around us to really experience and to refocus His church and to really create this, continue to create this foundation of what God is doing. And so we're going to look here in Acts chapter 6, because here we get to look in. We get to peek into the window. We get to listen into the conversations of the early church as they're experiencing this incredible change. How do they navigate this change? What are the decisions they make? Who do they bring to the table? And how can you and I use these same principles that they used as we're navigating this change, as we're trying to figure out this change together and what it may look like? Because change can look like different things in different lives, right? I mean, we could look at what's happening globally, but also in our individual lives, right? Change can be on the horizon, or maybe we're in a season where you just feel like, God, I'm in this new season. I'm in this new, whatever it may be. And how do I navigate this, God? Where do you want me to go? In this series, we're talking about follow me. How do we follow Jesus in the midst of this change? And I believe the early church gives us some keys here to do that. And so to set up Acts chapter 6, we talked about Acts chapter 5, right? Ananias and Sapphira, we have this eye-opening moment where they lie to God, lie to the early church, and God strikes them down, right? We see Him respond in a way that maybe we haven't seen Him respond in the Bible, and we really haven't seen Him respond in the New Testament since then, but He's created this moment of the church of going, hey, this is a holy moment. This is an opportunity for us to come together, and I don't want you to take my name in vain, so to speak, but I want you to follow my ways. And then it says that the church was gripped by fear, and they served God more boldly. And so the apostles were coming out, and they were preaching the gospel, and many people were coming to know them. And then some of the apostles are arrested. And during their time of their arrest, they are brought before the religious leaders. And the religious leaders they bring them before, and they say, hey, if you do not stop preaching, we're going to have to flog you. We're going to have to throw you in prison. And they make this bold statement. Hey, we're here to obey God. We have to obey God before we obey man. And they get this incredible boldness. And then the religious leaders look at them and say, since you will not stop, we're gonna release you, because we don't want to create this mob that's here early, but we're going to whip you. We're going to beat you first. Like, physically, we're going to beat you and walk away. And something happens at the end of chapter 5. It's a little mind-blowing for me. It says the apostles walked away rejoicing. I mean, they're high-fiving and chest-bumping after they just got whipped, right? And they said they were so excited because they counted themselves as almost this worthy to suffer the way that Christ suffered. What a mindset. They go, whew, we experienced a little bit of what Jesus experienced. And they walk away rejoicing, saying, wow, look at this. And the only reason that somebody would walk through that is if Jesus is who He said He was. The only reason is because it is true. They saw Him. They walked with Him. And they know. And everybody from there, we're going to see what happens because of their obedience. Because they believed that the truth was the truth. They believed that Jesus was who He says He was. And they were again preaching. And they see people respond like this to persecution. And they're going, whoa, something's going on here. Like, they have something figured out. Can you tell me a little bit about why you're rejoicing when you're leaving this area? Why this is happening to you and you're still praising God? And they're able to share the gospel with them. They're able to share and go, look, I know that was scary. It seems scary. But Jesus has taken the sting of death away. Jesus has given me a hope. And they begin to share the gospel with people. And then this is what happens here in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Everybody good? This is what it says. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 and kind of talk about it a little bit. It says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, I love that, rapidly multiplied, so they're experiencing this rapid growth, there were rumblings of discontent in the church. No way, right? It says, the Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in praying and teaching the word. Then one of the biggest miracles in the Bible is right here. You ready? Everyone liked this idea, right? Like, wow. Can you believe it? Everybody around the table was like, yes, we're on board. That's it. Everybody liked this idea. And they chose the following. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert of the Jewish faith. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. What an incredible picture. We have a moment here, right, where the early church, is the Bible describes it as they are growing rapidly. I mean, they are multiplying. Some scholars even believe it would have been up to like 20,000 believers now. Just expanding. You just think the day of Pentecost, 3,000, right? And then all of a sudden, just thousands of people are coming to know Christ right here in this region. And all of a sudden, it becomes an administration and leadership nightmare, right? All of these people, and now they have this food program where all of these widows and people are showing up for food, and the believers are going, something's happening here. Something needs to change. Everybody's not getting our food. And then we have two groups of people. We have the Greek-speaking believers who would have lived probably outside of Jerusalem, heard the gospel, and have come to follow the faith. And then we have the Hebrew-speaking believers, which have grown up maybe Jewish in the Judea tradition, and then they came to know Christ. So now you got two groups of people, and now we see that the Greek-speaking Jews are going, hey, you're all of the Hebrew-speaking, you know, Jewish tradition, maybe that you are close to, because a lot of the early disciples were from that area or that people group, they're saying they're being taken care of. But these new Greek-speaking, right, these new, which they would have called pagan before they come to know Christ, they're not being taken care of. They're not. And so the believers have an opportunity, right? They have to do what? Growth is happening. They got to change. They have to respond in order to keep up with the growth. They have to respond in order to continue to reach more people for the gospel, right? And so they have this moment. They call all the believers together and they have this meeting. And then they select these seven guys, which is pretty incredible. And they begin to speak. But how they do this, I believe, is what you and I can learn from. So they bring people to the table, but the first kind of big block, so this is what I want to do today. I want to give you two kind of big ideas of what they did, and then two quick points underneath those two ideas. Is that okay? Awesome. So the first one is they come together because they keep the church focused. Okay, they remained focused on the main point. And what they do is they pull everybody together and they say, what we need to do is we, as the apostles, have a particular job to do. We're called to prayer. We're called to teach the word of God. We're called to push this message forward, right? He's like, that's our gifting. That's our set. But we're so busy trying to keep up with this food program that it's not being able to happen. People aren't being discipled, and people are coming to us with questions about the word, and all of this is new for everybody, right? And so they're trying to figure this out. So they say, what we need to do is that we need to look for seven men who are full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. And so they pull the church of going, all this is going on, and they help them find their true north. Just like if we were lost in the woods, right? If we're lost, one of the things they teach you in Eagle Scouts, right? I'm not an Eagle Scout, but like they teach you is you got to pull out and you got to find the true north, right? If you can find true north, then you know where all the other directions are. And so in this moment of change, in this moment of rapid growth, they say, what is our true north? Well, how can we remain focused? And I believe anytime we're experiencing this rapid growth or this sudden change, we need to refocus, right? We need to go, what is my true north? What am I focusing on? What is my foundation on so I can cling to it and at least I can know how to navigate this change? And so they refocus everybody. And he says that the food program is great, but he says that the church's primary calling is to provide spiritually. Right? He's saying that we need to be about prayer. We need to be about administering the word. Yes, we still need to have the food program. Yes, we still need to have the children's outreach program. Yes, we still need to have the fall community break, fall outreach that's coming. If we're going to have the fall out, like, we can still have all of that, but the church's primary calling is to lead people spiritually. The church's primary calling is to disciple them and to raise them up and to teach them the gospel. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility," I love this, "is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." I love that. He says that our gifts were given to us to equip the saints, to equip each other, to build the church up, and then to help them commission them out into their work. But the building comes first, right? The equipping comes first, and then the work comes. And then he says this, "I want every believer, even if they're a part of the food program, if they're a part of the kids program, if they're a greeter, if they're a part of the outreach program, whatever that is," and he said, "I want all believers," this is the second point here, "all Christians are called, all Christians crawled. All Christians are called to grow in the Spirit and in wisdom." That every believer, that we have a calling to grow in our relationship with Christ and to grow in wisdom. No matter where we serve or what team we're on, we have this calling to grow in that. And so as a church, that's something we've been talking about on our serve teams, is that we want to help people grow in their skill set, their God-given gifts, but also in discipleship, because that's our primary calling as the church. And what heartache would it be for the church to go, "Woo, look how good I'm serving. I'm here at 7 a.m. and I set up all of these things, but then 2 years later I walk away and I'm no closer to the Lord. I'm no further in my relationship with Christ." And our prayer is to go, yes, I want to focus in to realize our primary calling is to experience God. And if you're wondering what I pray about for you the most, for the low country to the most, is that you would experience God, that you would draw near to Him, and that He would continue to grow your faith. And we see this here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "They will continue this until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." What a beautiful picture that we would all come into this maturity in Christ of realizing who He has called us to be, to experience that. That is our true north. Rapid change was coming, but they said, no, let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's keep the focus of growing in Christ, growing in maturity more and more. And then they begin to shift, okay? And this is where I may really start to preach, okay? So I hope you guys are ready. We see they begin to change. It says, "Everyone liked this idea. They chose the following: Stephen," they go through the whole list of names. I'm going to say really fast because some of them are hard to say. All of these. And it says, "These seven men were presented to the apostles who prayed for them and laid their hands on them." So God's message continued to spread. We see that the apostles, they stop and they say, this rapid growth is happening. We need the right people in the right seat. We need to put people in place. We have a gifting. God's given the apostles the gifting. We're called to start new churches. We're called to teach the word of God. We're called to pray over your souls. And they're saying, we're being pulled away, right? Because of this administration or this leadership thing is happening. So we need to raise up more leaders. And I love this here. If you're taking notes, I would love for you to write this down. When God wants to change something, He raises up leaders to work through. When God wants to change something, He raises up leaders to work through. If we look in the Old Testament, he said, I'm looking for a man. He looks down and he calls Abraham. And he says, you will be a father to many nations. And he works through Abraham, works through his family. And then his people are in captivity. He looks down and says, I'm raising up Moses. Moses, you're going to go to the Pharaoh. You're going to stand before him. You're going to proclaim my name. I'm going to work through you to free my people, right? And then we see a man named Joseph. He's like, Joseph, your life is going to be incredibly difficult, but you're going to be a beacon for the end of ages of how to follow me, how to pursue me. And I believe, honestly, if you go read through the book of Joseph, you want to talk about gift set. I mean, it doesn't matter where God placed him, his gift set rose to the top and he stood out above everybody. Then you see King David. He's saying, oh, I need a king. I need somebody after my own heart. Like, I need somebody in leadership. I need somebody in place. So let me raise up David, who fears my word, fears my judgment more than he fears Goliath. And he raises King David up. And then he raises the disciples. Then he raises the apostles. And then he raises more disciples. And then he raises more apostles. And then a new era comes, right? And we will look back all the way to different spiritual people who rose to the surface, like Martin Luther, nailing things to the church's doors, and it changes a revolution, it changes a reformation. And I believe we have a moment here in 2021. God knew, he is all knowing what is before us, he knows what is coming, and he says, you know what, Bunny Hunt is going to be raised right here in 2021. She's going to come right here. Amanda Kasnave is going to be right here in 2021. The McMahon's going to be right here in 2021. Daniel Kasnave is going to be right here in 2021, right? Like the Berries are going to be right here in the low country in this season, in this moment of time. And I believe that God is stirring something up inside of his church and going, I'm raising you up as leaders. I'm raising you up. And I'm going to equip you first and foremost spiritually. I want you to raise up and have a foundation in me so that you can be like the early church. When you face persecution, when the world is going haywire, you can stand up on your foundation and go, I know what true north is. I know who to follow. His name is Jesus. All this stuff is trying to get my attention, and my phone notification is here and here and here and here. But I know what my true north is. I know who my foundation is. Change, let it come. Because Jesus is the one I'm following. Jesus is the one that sustains me. Jesus is the one that helps me experience who he's called me to be. And the apostles knew their gifting so much that they said no to a good thing to be in the right thing. I think you and I need to get in our relationship with Christ where we can say no to a good thing. And even though it, because that was a church ministry, right? I mean, that was a ministry going on in the church, and they were like, we shouldn't be doing this. In fact, we're more gifted for this. They were walking and knew who they were, knew who God created them to be. And I believe that's important for you and I, because you may be serving in one area or you may be doing one thing, right? And all of a sudden you realize, I feel like a fish out of water like that. I don't feel fulfilled. I don't feel like this is where God's called me to be. And it's like, once we figure out where our gifting is, how God wired us, all of a sudden we're walking in fulfillment and we're walking in experiencing who God's created us to be. God may have gifted me to be a teacher of the word, right? But then you put that pressure on somebody else who doesn't have that gift, and it's like, right, like start cold sweats. Like, I can't do that. I'm not ready for that, right? Like, I can't be in there in that moment. But then you put me in a setting where it's like administration, right? You put me there, and all of a sudden things are flowing and popping, and I'm having cold sweats. I'm like, this is, woo, we can't be doing all this, right? Like, come on, right? All of these things, we all have a part to play. And every gifting is vital. And I'm going to go as far as this to say, we need every gifting. We need every single one. You may feel like your gifting, like, oh, I wish I had that one, right? Or I wish I had that gift, or I wish I had that gift, right? But your gifting, that the creator of the universe knew you in your mother's room, knitted you together and said, "Ooh, I'm gonna make Austin Granger this way. I'm gonna make the Hunts this way," right? Like, I'm gonna knit them together exactly. And now they're believers in me. The Holy Spirit is gonna, now this is the gift that's gonna work with how I created them. And now I'm going to commission them. I'm going to raise them up as leaders because we have work to do. Amen. We have things to do. God's great. Look, it is not an age discrimination either. You become a believer in Christ, age of 7, you got work to do, right? 15, we got work to do. 22, you got work to do. 105, still breathing, right? We got work to do. God is still using you, and he is still in every season. Change is coming, right? Growth is coming. You may be in a season of growth personally, but you know that it gives us an opportunity to change. And going, God, I'm surrendering this in my life, and I'm going to follow you because I believe you're taking me to another level, either spiritually, you're taking me to another level, maybe in my leadership. You're taking me to in a different area, arena of my life. But God, I knew you. I know you knew this was coming. And I'm following you. I'm pursuing you in this. And we see this beautiful thing begin to happen. And I believe this is worth mentioning here. And then I'm going to close and Jacob's going to come back up and we're going to sing together. But I believe a beautiful thing begins to happen here. We see that the leaders, the apostles, right, they could have easily walked in and said, no, the food program is mine. Like, we birthed this thing. This is mine, right? Like, I provided the leadership. We started this thing. This is mine. But we see something beautiful begin to happen. The leaders of the church walked in and said, hey, we're in this thing together. I'm releasing control. This is not mine. This is God's anyway, right? Like, we need to raise up more leaders because more leaders mean reaching more people. This effective change begins to happen. We see them release control so much that the guys that they picked are Greek believers. We see that they were the ones that were being misrepresented. So what does the leadership do? They go, okay, we're going to raise up leaders and we're going to pick some Greek-speaking leaders to run this ministry. We know that they will watch out for the ones that they have the background in, right? And so we see leadership even make that bold step to go, we're going to raise them up. They're going to be the leaders now. And they're willing to walk in that release of control, because I believe when you and I walk in our gifting, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we see us be fulfilled, but also we see the gospel, God's message, continue to grow in an incredible way. That each and every one of us, God has given us a gift. God has given us an ability, and it doesn't matter what that may be. Your gift could be hospitality, right? All of a sudden, now you're a part of a small group, and when somebody walks through those doors and you have a supernatural gift to make somebody feel connected, right? Your gift may not be teaching. You may not be the one sitting down going, let's break this text down. Let's break this scripture down. But you're the one, as soon as they walk in, they're like, oh, I feel like this was at home. Like, I need to come back. I need to be here because the gifting was there. And it offset maybe some other giftings that are in the house. Or maybe your gifting may be administration or leadership. We need you in outreach ministry, right? We need you helping organizing and bringing things. You're going here. You're going there. And all of a sudden, things like that just make sense to you. And they're falling in place. And I would even say it's a supernatural gift that you and I can't ignore. You and I can walk into that. And I believe that that will even speak to people who are not believers in Christ. They will look at your gift and go, how can you do that? It feels like it just comes easy to you. And you know you're gifting enough to go, well, you know, I believe that's the Holy Spirit has gifted me in this area. God's spoken to me in this area. And all of a sudden, they're like, wow, who is this guy? I didn't even realize that was a thing, right? And all of a sudden, our gifting begins to speak to an outside world. And for you and I, this is one of my soapbox moments. You guys ready? Because when we first start coming to church, here, we know we are coming most likely to receive, right? We're coming to receive. We're coming because we need to be filled up, which is good, which is where we need to be. And I would even say there's seasons where you just need to come to church, right? And you just need to receive. You need to be filled up. You need all of those things. But my prayer is that we continue to grow in maturity to now I'm showing up to receive, but now my mindset begins to shift to going, I'm showing up to praise God. I'm showing up to put him first. I want to raise his name up because only in God's kingdom do we see this exchange. When I come to praise God, that he in turn fills us up. We see this moment begin to happen. And then we even see more maturity continue to come on. And then now I'm showing up to church to praise God. And I know somebody needs me. I know God's going to work through me to bless someone else. Somebody needs my smile. Somebody needs that hug. Somebody needs the lyrics on the screen, right? Somebody needs that kid to be poured into. My mama needs you to hold that baby, right? To let them experience 30 minutes of hearing God's word, to be filled up. Every single gift is important. Every single gift is vital. And now it's like, oh, I know I'm called to be a part of this church thing because now I know God's going to use me for this. And God's going to help me experience something maybe I've never experienced before. And it's me taking that step of faith and going, God, I want you to equip me. I want you to change me. I want you to help me in this. Last thing here, and I want to give us two really quick takeaways as we pray. It says, when we serve in our God-given gifts, we find fulfillment and the church multiplies. When you and I walk in our gifting, we are raised up to being grown spiritually, and then God continues to grow our gifting. We see fulfillment in our hearts that we're walking in the lane that God has called us to, and we see God begin to grow and to multiply things that are around us. And so two things I love for you to pray about as we finish today. The first one is, maybe you're in a season where you feel like God may be trying to grow you. But it's a season where, okay, God, I need to release a little bit because I know in order to receive that growth, things are going to have to change. Things are going to have to, maybe some spiritual habits are going to have to change in me that you're trying to change in me. God, I'm ready. I'm open. I'm available. Will you guide me, God? That I may have to eliminate one thing to pick up another thing, right? I may have to walk in and say, God, you know what? I can't watch 12 shows at night because I'm going to read your word, right? Or maybe, God, I know that I'm going to jump into a small group. I've never really done anything like that before, but I'm willing to walk in that, God, so that I can be filled, so I can be equipped, so I can know what my true north is, God. So that maybe the season you're in to walk in that change, whatever that may be. And then the second one is, maybe you begin to start praying about, God, what is my seat? God, where have you gifted me? How have you wired me in this? And we as a church, that's what we're called to walk along together with. Ephesians 4 says, equip the saints for the what? The work of the service. And that we're walking together. And that's what's beautiful about community. All of a sudden, somebody will speak something into you, and you're going, oh, I didn't even realize I treated people like, I didn't even realize I worked well with that person, or worked well with that generation, or I did that, or I experienced that. And all of a sudden, we see how God is working in that. And as I was studying and reading this, I read this quote, and I want to end with this quote. And it says this. This is the author unknown. It says, we all have a mindset, right? And this is the mindset we can have. One day or day one, you decide. I love that. One day, I'm going to embrace this. One day, I'm going to walk in this. Or Sunday, September 19th, 2021, day one, God, I'm walking in your path. I'm walking in your grace. I'm pursuing you with everything that I have. And I believe we can maybe experience God that we have never experienced him before. We take a moment where he is growing us. It's going to mean change. It's going to mean things may begin to shift, things that I don't have to let go of in my life. But yet I experience this change because I know it's growth. I know I'm growing closer to him. And we have the amazing, thrilling, I call it the thrill of obedience, because we have never arrived. God always has a faith step for us to take. God may be trying to heal something in our past. He may be trying to teach us about forgiveness, or he may be teaching us about our gifting, or he may be teaching us about being bold, or whatever it may be. We've never fully arrived. God is going, I'm here. I'm walking with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Every step of the way, you are still breathing, so you still have a purpose. And I want to pray that over us as a church. So let me pray for us. Maybe you're praying over those two things. Do I need to embrace this change? Do I need to embrace this growth? What steps do I need to take to grow spiritually? Or maybe I need to begin to say, what is my seat? Where has God gifted me in this? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. God, thank you that you love your church enough to one, save us, to redeem us, God, to give us an eternity with you, to give us the Holy Spirit that walks with us. And then on top of that, God, you give us gifts. You give us the opportunity to serve you, to experience fulfillment, to experience hope, and to experience having somebody else know you better because you're working through us, God. How amazing, how purpose-filled of our day can be, God. I pray that you just speak to our hearts. I pray that there's somebody in this room maybe listening online and that they're hearing that they have a gift, that they can come to know Jesus. And when they come to know Jesus, they receive the Holy Spirit, God. And then when they receive the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. God, I pray that you would speak over their life. I pray that you would illuminate things in each and every person who can hear my voice. God, I pray that you raise them to the surface. I pray that you set our hearts and souls on fire for you, God. I believe that you have called us to this region, to this area, this season of life, not by mistake, but on purpose, God. And you want to equip us to be the salt of the earth, the light in the darkness, God. I pray that we stand on your word. We stand on the gospel. We stand on the truth. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.